We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, hi, everybody. We are back with Prediction Esports Presents Y'all Game, and I'm Cody. That's TK. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. Two big games or high-profile games came out recently. Both of them were delayed for quite a while, so we're going to talk about that in a little bit and sort of the similarities between the two. And then we were going to talk about just sort of delays in general and see if they make a better game, because I don't think that they do. But they literally do, so that's a dumb thing for me to say. Hi, everybody. So I guess to start things off, let's just talk about what we've been doing. We just got back from Riptide. I'm sure you can hear that on both of our streams individually, but I know you were talking about it a little bit on your stream when you started off. How was your experience, man? What's the big major like now?
I enjoyed Riptide as a whole, but like definitely sure. Me and you both have been people who like our social media drains, so like we want to like chill out for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like after tournaments, I feel like my social media drains much faster now, because you know there was no seeing other people for like a year and a half except for like very close friends and shit. So
sure.
Getting to an actual big tournament that like has, you know, just regular tournament goers instead of the invitational summit, it's a little harder to adjust to, and it's not in a bad way. I just like something that I have to get used to again, because again, like this is my first real tournament in like years almost.
Sure.
So yeah, it's been an interesting adjustment for sure, but I mean it was nice to see all the homies and hang out with the ones that, you know, the overage people in overage capacity. So
it's I saw the thing saying that saying that there was a breakout case at Riptide, which sucks, like the breakthrough case on COVID. Hopefully it's not a big spread. I did read something about Lollapalooza happening in Chicago, and like 90% of people were vaccinated, and there was a very low rate of transmission. And with 100% vaccinated, I think it at Riptide it should be better, but hopefully we'll see.
But I don't know if it was actually 100% though, because you only had to. It was either 100. You showed your badge or your vaccination card.
Yeah.
Or you showed a positive test within the last like week.
I forgot about that part. Yeah.
Or a negative test, in the last week. So, but I feel like most people, like, it's probably a high number. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was over 95% or something like that were vaccinated. So
I feel like that'd be most people, but that's not what we're talking about today. Today, we're talking about games. We got two on the docket, and then whatever you guys want to talk about around the topic. Of course, my game that I wanted to talk about is probably my game of the year now, which is Psychonauts 2. Came out after a series of... it's the best game of the year. It's the best game of the year, period. Why are you laughing? Right. Why is that funny?
You are such an extremist, bro. Like, you what can you never mean? Just, like... this is what I was talking about, bro. Like, I don't think you've ever, like, said, like, this will be all right. It's
It's
either amazing or it's shit.
Literally said Deathloop would be a 7 out of 10.
Man, no. You said that shit looks like Shitty Dishonored, which doesn't sound like a 7 out of 10 to me.
Shitty Dishonored is 7 out of 10.
What is Dishonored then?
7 out of 10.
Okay, that
Dishonored is 7 out of 10. I said it would be reskinned Dishonored. I didn't say shitty. I said it was just going to be Dishonored again, but with like a retro 70s, 60s style. And it's not like apparently as good.
I feel like that should take off away from it, though.
Nope.
Because we already have that game.
It doesn't.
And, all right.
Not on my list. I thought that it would be okay. I played plenty of okay games. I played Blasphemy. I play a Maneater. I have played so many 6 and 7 out of 10s, and you know what?
I think, first of all, Maneater is a solid 5 out of 10 experience, okay? Like, that's just, that is, like, I think 7 out of 10 is for games is used as, like, that's the benchmark. Like, this game,
you know, 5 is average. It's exactly what you thought it would be.
5 is average, and it is exactly average. It is a average game with average things to do, and it's a game that lets you pass time. That's a great... It's a great pastime game. Like, you know, 10 hours is being a shark. Why not? You know?
See, but I scale up. To me, 7 out of 10 is exactly what you like. It is the game that it says it was without any changes.
Okay.
Did you play Death's Door?
I played like half of it.
What'd you think?
It was pretty cool. I think that, like, it's a little easy to get lost in that game.
Sure.
But other than that, it was pretty cool. Like, I feel like I would give it
8.
No, see, I feel like that game, I would give it 7 out of 10 because it's following the, like, a very, like, normal game type.
Well, it's regardless, okay.
It's skinned differently and it plays well.
Sure,
so, like,
sure.
By your logic, it's a 7 out of 10.
No, because
what did it do differently?
No, you want to know what I give big points on, and Psychonauts does this too? Creativity. Death's Door is a marvel to behold. It looks really good, and it plays sort of similarly, right? It's just like a normal, like, Zelda-style adventure game. But the creativity and the presentation are stellar. They're very good. I'm big on that.
Okay. But I think you like darker stuff, though. Like, you usually like Hollow Knight. You like... What did you think about Limbo?
Didn't like it.
Why not?
Limbo's too up its own ass. Yeah. Limbo's a little bit too pretentious, you know? I liked it when it came out a little bit, but it did not age well. I was like a 7 out of... 6 or 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10. But regardless, Psychonauts 2 is the game of the year, and if you're not playing it, you are making a mistake. It's so good. It's just... the gameplay is standard. It's just like a normal 3D platformer, right? But the creativity and the stories that it's telling... And the visual presentation are all amazing. It's my favorite game, and I wish everybody would play it, but I'm kind of sad because I feel like the numbers are low. But then again, it was on Xbox Game Pass, so I think a lot of people are skewing it with that. I don't know. I hope it's succeeding, but I have no idea.
Are you saying they're skewing it as in they're not counting people who got it from Game Pass?
Yeah, because like everybody that got on Game Pass got to play it for $1.
Uh-huh.
You know? So that's, you know, you can't check that on the game sales because they got it on Game Pass. But
that's fair.
It's a critical success. Everybody's saying it's amazing, which I'm happy about because I've been waiting 15 years for this game. So I am very pleased. Did you ever even play the first one, Psychonauts?
No, that's why I just wasn't interested in it.
Come
like,
on,
I mean,
man.
I'm sure it's a cool game. But
why not, dude?
What? I wasn't interested in it.
Why
I don't
not,
know. Like,
though?
What system did it come out
it's
on?
It's so good. It was on Xbox.
See, I was too busy playing Halo, bro.
Yeah, you're almost as old as me. You were old enough to like it.
I was too. I didn't say it. There's nothing wrong with age. I just had a different. There was different games I liked back then.
Well, it's on PC now. What's your excuse, huh? It's been on PC for like 10 years, bro.
You know what else is on PC?
What?
Beyond Good and Evil. And...
Who?
Like, I played that game on the GameCube. I got about halfway through it. I was like, one day I'll get around to beating that again. And there's like, it's all enhanced and looks better. I just don't want to go back and play that. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm sure that it's a good game, and I'm sure I will enjoy watching you play it, but I will not be playing it myself.
I'm telling you, you should play Psychonauts this instant. Very good game. Psychonauts 2 in particular. And you don't... Listen, if you're watching this, you don't even have to play the first one. I promise you. There's a little cutscene at the beginning that tells you how to play it. And it's $1 on Game Pass. You schmuck. Play it.
I don't have Game Pass. I don't support Microsoft.
Well, it's only $60 then.
I'm on Linux right now.
All right. Well, then it's only $60. I'm not actually on... Don't worry about it.
Listen, like, the thing is, we and you can't recommend games to each other normally because the stuff that I like and the stuff that you don't like shit that I like, even though you would like shit that I liked if it was skinned differently.
Maybe.
That's actually factual. Like, maybe. I feel like there's a lot of action games that I play that because they have that anime tinge, you're like, nah. And I don't even like the anime tinge, I just look past that because the gameplay is fun. But you, if there's even a small semblance of anime in there, this game sucks.
Well, yeah, because the presentation is like too formulaic. It's corny, bro. Not into it.
Okay.
The way that anime presents its stories just doesn't work for me, you know?
Right.
And there's a lot of it.
But you could just play the game, because I also don't give a fuck about the story too often. I just skip through the cutscenes to play the game.
Why would you play a game without having
because the action
part
is fun, bro. The action is fun, bro. First of all, you're not saying
it
that
has to be cohesive.
As a Smash player. You literally can't say that as a Smash player.
I'm not a Smash player. You know what the last time I played Smash was?
At Summit with me. So
like, by accident. What are you? Yeah.
Okay, but
it was my job to play Smash there. I had to.
We sat down and played friendlies, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I was
right,
paid to
well
do it.
Well, put it back. Let's go back to when you were a Smash player. How much of the not competitive side of that game did you play?
Dude, I did everything. I did World of Light. I did all
you,
the
you did?
Stuff. Yeah, dude. I beat World of Light.
All right.
Yeah, I'm into the whole presentation of the game. I need the whole package, you know? Coney, would you all like Psychonauts 2 if it starred Iron Man? No. No. No, that's not the same. That's not the same because
there
the whole is no, it's not. There it is.
The whole
is different than the sum of its parts. It is a It is a fine game, but it is wrapped in this outer layer of presentation and polish and creativity that elevates it to a new level. You shit.
Okay. You can the game could still be very fun if like what if it was all Psychonauts and then it was just an Iron Man skin and some Iron Man quips?
I would hate that.
Okay.
There's lots of quips in the game, but if it's Iron Man quips, then it's like Marvel. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Do you? All right.
What?
You're a hipster, bro.
I'm not a hipster. I just like good creative things. And seeing the same Superman game or superhero game five times in a row, but this time with a new guy. That's
I think it depends
creative.
On what superhero it is. I don't give a fuck about Superman. That character is he's a boring superhero. He can do everything. All right. Well, that's not fun. You know who is a fun superhero, though? Spider-Man. Very fun.
So you want
Very
three
cool
games
superhero.
Of that over 5 years.
I'll take another game of that. I'll take another game of it if it's expanding the story. And it is. We had Spider-Man 1. It was Peter Parker. And we had Spider-Man 2. And it was Miles Morales because Peter Parker was dying and shit. And then now we're going to have Spider-Man 3. And it's going to have better cameos. Because honestly, I didn't really know all the villains from the Miles Morales one. But they're getting some of the more popular villains in there. So
it's going to be the same thing. All I'm saying, Psychonauts 2, game of the year. Please play it. If you're watching
okay,
this
but
now,
what,
please
what,
try.
Why, though? Why, though?
Why?
We went all over the place. So why? What makes Psychonauts
okay,
that
game? Okay,
here we
go. I'm going to say it again. It is a competent 3D platformer. The 3D platforming is okay. It's not bad. It's fun, but it's normal, right? You get what 3D platformers are. You get the elements and the way that they function. There's not really much in terms of innovation or iterative sort of gameplay, right? It's just sort of the same as before. But the whole presentation of it, it is the polish of it. Do you even know what it's about? Do I have to explain what Psychonauts is about?
No, I'm letting you know that
what?
You're giving a game 10 out of 10 while shitting on the actual gameplay.
Now, I'm not shitting on the gameplay. The
you're
gameplay
saying
is
that
good
it's boring
gameplay...
and it's done before and all of that.
No. The gameplay is tied in with the thematic elements, which is different from Genshin Impact, which is just what? Breath of the Wild, but they put an anime skin on it. That's not the same. When the gameplay is tied in with the thematic elements, the whole point of the game is that you're a psychonaut, which is somebody that explores people's minds and sorts out their emotions and mental baggage. It's almost like platforming therapy, okay? And the whole element of the game is you go into people's heads and you see the world, the stage is basically the world as they see it. So you go through all kinds of issues, and there's like abandonment issues, and there's some daddy issues in there. One of the guys is an alcoholic. One of the women associates risk with death. And so you change some things in her head, and now she associates risk with profit. It's really cool. It's neat as hell. And when you get into the game, and the gameplay serves as a function of the story and the overarching thematic elements, it's great. It's very good.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Nira says it's just Persona.
Maybe.
But you wouldn't play Persona.
I would play Persona, and I might like it if it wasn't 120 hours. Seriously.
That's actually fair. That's a long-ass fucking game.
I've literally thought about it, because like I see it, and I'm like, oh, this looks kind of cool. The music is good, but it's way too long.
As if you guys have been watching this show for a while, you know that we are big 10-hour enthusiasts. So yep. You make your game around 10, 20 hours, like, or, you know, anywhere in between that area, I'm like, all right, cool. So, I mean, I'm supposed to play Tales of Arise. I already know that game's probably like 50 hours, so I probably will not be finishing it, but at least I'll be able to show it off.
Probably.
But this is what I'm saying, okay? This is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You can't give a game 10 out of 10 off of themes alone. Like, I think you can give that area of the game 10 out of 10, but if the gameplay also isn't 10, if the platforming elements or whatever the fuck are just okay, then when you average that together, it can't be a 10. That's impossible.
No, you are speaking about an objective 10 out of 10. I'm speaking about a subjective 10 out of 10. For me, it is perfect.
Okay, for me, but personally. You are disagreeing with me when I'm telling you that it's probably not perfect based off what you're saying.
I didn't say it was perfect for everybody. I didn't say that. I just said it was game of the year. I said it was game of the year. I didn't say it was perfect.
This is content. I know what you're doing.
It's my game of the year. It's not content. It's the same as Cuphead. Cuphead is my last favorite game. Like, this is my favorite game since Cuphead. Cuphead was my last 10 out of 10. Is it a 10 out of 10? A lot of people would say no. It's kind of short. The difficulty is here and there for people. There's not much to latch onto. But for me, it's perfect. I feel that way about Psychonauts 2. It's very good. I love it.
I... okay, so this, I'm just looking at it logically. There's been a lot of games that have come out
logic,
that,
sure.
that
yeah,
people okay. that people like use and say they're 10 out of 10s, but then will complain about stuff like that. Uh-huh. I feel like for me, like for instance, I really like XEX's gameplay. Shit, that's a 10 out of 10 game for the gameplay. Apparently the story sucks. I didn't really pay too much attention to the story, but people don't like, people didn't like that it was not a, you know, or it was a created character antagonist or protagonist. Okay. People didn't like that shit. So when you go back and think about other Xenoblades, or let's go back and just say Xenoblade Chronicles 1, because apparently Chronicles 2 wasn't that liked or mm-hmm. as much liked as I thought. That gameplay was also good, but then apparently the story was really good too. So like that game to me has a closer chance of being a 10 out of 10 than XEX, even though I love XEX because of the gameplay.
Okay.
So what you're saying is that thematically the game is a 10 out of 10.
Sure.
But the gameplay is not a 10 out of 10.
Gameplay is like an 8.
Okay, so why don't you just say it's a 9, bro?
Because it's not
a
9 to me.
It's a great average.
No.
It's a great
average. It's not a 9 to me. It all elevates itself to something that's better for me. Objectively, it's probably a 9, maybe an 8 for some people. For me,
as long as we're getting to the point that, you know, you're not, you know.
It's my own tastes.
All right, bro. So
it's my own taste. 10 out of 10 for me.
What's the word that you use that's not objectively the next for you?
What? For me? What do you mean?
You said another word. You said objective.
Subjective.
Subjective,
yeah.
It's a 10 out of 10.
That's how I said.
Respectfully, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, respectfully, 10 out of 10. True. It's my game of the year, and you guys should try it if you're watching, if you like 3D platformers at all. Game rules. I don't know if you'll like the first one, though. The first one has gotten kind of moldy. It's old. It's still interesting and creative, but the gameplay itself is a little slow. So, but
I mean, I feel like my idea of a 10 out of 10 always will be if there's no part of the game that immediately puts me off. Like, there could be parts of the game that I'm like, this could be better.
The thing is that
no game
is perfect.
I'm talking about my subjective 10 out of 10. If there's literally
no
part of the game.
That's literally what I said.
No. You were talking about it like, you were talking about it objectively until I forced you to go subjectively. And now, objectively, it's a 9 out of 10. But subjectively, you think it's a 10 out of 10. Which is fine. That's fine, bro. So does GameSpot, apparently. Actually, that's not.
No, GameSpot, everybody gave it 8s and 9s. But you know what? Okay. They gave 10s. And the way to loop this around, actually. Ooh, way to death loop it. Both these games got delayed super hard. And
I thought this one got delayed like 2-3 months.
It got delayed twice though. It was supposed to come out last year, and then they said April, and then they said, I thought they said October, but I guess not. It's September. But Psychonauts, the first game came out like 15 years ago. They announced it back in 2017. Kept pushing it back. I was skeptical. Finally comes out. It's amazing. Deathloop got announced years and years ago. Not even that long, actually. It was like probably like last year. It wasn't that long. Yeah, I'm just...
It was eons ago. Like, when I was a baby, they were like, you know, I got a good idea.
Yeah.
So,
it was definitely 2020. But it got pushed back a little bit, and we've seen so many trailers of it over and over, and I thought it was not going to be good. I thought, well, here's the thing. I have to be very careful with my words now, I guess. I thought it was going to be boring. I thought it was going to be a 7 out of 10 Dishonored clone with a new skin. But actually, I checked out the reviews. Everybody's saying 10 out of 10. I haven't had a chance to play it. I'm going to play it tonight. My frames suck. I don't know why the game sucks so much on PC, but I'm going to try to figure it out. But you have had a chance to play it. Is it good?
I think the reason why it was seen as boring is because those trailers did it no justice.
Really?
Like, I think that the trailers, the way that it was presented in the trailers did not really tell you, did not world build for you, basically. Mm-hmm. It was like, all right, like, from my understanding of the trailer was that it felt like a roguelike that was like almost never ending, but people could like jump in your games and like Dark Souls you, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, that seems like a pretty cool concept, whatever, right? But then it's deeper than that, because not only are you like, I mean, you can go grief people's games if you want, but like you are trying to like uncover the story as well as you're going through as you play Colt. So you when you're playing Colt, you're playing the main story.
Sure.
And when you're playing Juliana, you're griefing the main story. And I haven't got a chance to grief yet, but that sounds pretty fun. That right there in itself sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
I did my first boss battle. I didn't get a chance to finish it, but the boss played different than the like main henchmen and stuff. Like this boss had like powers where he could where they could split themselves up.
Okay.
And then you have to kill all each one of them, I guess, to win the boss battle, right? So like that's cool.
Sure.
I'd only been playing for like 2 hours. The tutorial, like I feel like if you can get through it faster than that, but like I'm one of those people that like kind of like explore every corner, see if I find something, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. It's okay. The gameplay is much better than what I think. Well, not even much better. I think the presentation altogether is much better. The gameplay is exactly what I thought I was getting. Like yeah. It does have that Dishonored vibe. You could definitely decipher the gameplay from the trailer, but you cannot decipher the world building from the trailer. And I think that was a large issue for people.
Sure.
Because when you get to play the game, now you understand like, wow, okay, this is actually pretty fucking deep.
Yeah. I was going to say, it feels like a lot of it is story-based, which Dishonored kind of was. It's like the presentation and the atmosphere and the world sucks you into it more and gives you more of a reason to care. And it sounds like it's sort of that kind of thing because you're trying to uncover stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, and everything that you get, like, so basically, like, you know, you live in a day, like on some Majora's Mask type stuff, right? So eventually, like, the day will reset and you'll go back to the beginning. But everything that you've learned, you get to keep. So like if you learned a safe code for, you know, a safe in one of the areas, like you can always go back to that safe and grab whatever in that safe during your run. So say that safe had like a gold gun or something. All right, yeah. Cool. Now in every run that I have, I can run directly to that safe, grab the gold gun and keep moving. So like that's really, I think that's really cool that, you know, once you find something, you don't have to find it again. And then I think the way that this works is that apparently I didn't got to this part yet, but it says that now that I'm doing the boss battles, like there's some fusion something that allows you to like wake up the next day, but keep all your guns too. So,
okay. So that's like a different thing that you have to unlock or that you have to invest points in, or is it like a,
I think that's a thing that, happens as you progress the story.
Got it. Are there skill trees?
Yeah.
I love
skills to pick up. And there's, ways to kit and customize your guns with different, you know, trinkets and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And you can customize your secondary weapons. You can customize your ability and like gun traits and stuff. But I'm not sure if there's like full on skill trees yet. Skill trees are dope though. I don't know what it is about skill trees, but
mm-hmm.
that's an extra point for me in any game.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is like. It's so easy to make me have. I just want to see a number go up, you know? It's so stupid. But, like, I love that stuff. So I didn't know what kind of game it was or if there was a way to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So. I mean, I haven't been able to watch any gameplay. I'm going into it totally blind. I'm going to play it tonight. I want to stream it, but my frames, like, it's just, like, I keep dipping down to 45, 48. And apparently it's because the game is just a really bad port. There's an issue with the DRM. Denuvo or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it sucks on PC, but you know, whatever, I'll figure it out. I'm excited to give it a shot because like I can't check. Can you guys remind me, there is a game that I keep forgetting, people have told me this, but the developer Arcane, one team put out Dishonored and one team put out Prey. And Prey was amazing. It did not get any love the year it came out, but it was very good. And I'm wondering if it's like Prey. You didn't play it, right?
I played a little Prey, but like it was literally for like, it had to be less than 2 hours.
You didn't get into it. Yeah.
Okay. Nah.
Yeah, I loved Prey. And I don't know if these are the same devs. It's Arcane Lion, I think. I don't know, but Prey was great. But I'm wondering if this is the same devs, because that game was amazing. I'm excited to get into Deathloop. I just can't believe it came out as good as it did. Because, like I said, I was pretty skeptical, dude. I saw trailer after trailer, and after every trailer, it felt like I was being sold to. Does that make sense? Like, it didn't feel like it could stand on its own without the marketing, but I was totally wrong.
What, Deathloop?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think you're right on that. I don't think this is a game that people would be, like, if it didn't get, like, 7 or 8 different trailers, I'm sure no one would really be thinking about it. Because, yeah, I mean, like, from the first trailer alone, they got one trailer and moved on.
Yeah,
it is just Dishonored. Like, all right, man, I've already played that.
Sure,
game.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
And Dishonored isn't like, it doesn't have like the largest fan base, so it's, you know, maybe those people would have bought it, but I do think that they needed that marketing.
Yeah.
Because like for like Cyberpunk from the first trailer in, like it could have put no other trailers out and probably sold as much as it did. But no, I think that that Deathloop was one of those games, especially it's around the time that it was like shown, because I think, you know, it was in the first PS5 state of play or whatever. And, you know, you're expecting to see some heavy hitters like for PS, like the PS5, like yep. games that were PS4 moving forward, Horizon Zero Dawn, maybe another Uncharted, you know, something like that. And now you get Deathloop. You're like, original IP. That's cool, I guess. But the gameplay looks standard. And now that like it's out and it's gotten more like 5-6 more trailers and people are playing it and saying it's a 10 out of 10, this publicity is definitely helping as well.
Yeah. Well, you think you've seen it before. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited to give it a shot. I'm one of those people, I don't understand it until I get into it.
That's fair. I guess I'm the same way with Psychonauts. So,
which you should play.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm telling
bro.
You, it's very good. Do you even like platformers?
To be honest, probably not. I feel like I'm getting out of that realm. Like Mario Odyssey was good, but then like I was like, okay, it's Mario though. Like
true.
I don't know what it is about like. I think generally, I don't even think it's like I don't like platformers. I just don't think I like Mario.
I get that, sure.
Yeah, like I think I'm just over that style of platformers. Other stuff that I know Dead Cells is a roguelike, but I mean it's a platformer
sort of,
type roguelike
yeah.
for sure. So, but there is definitely some platformers I can get into, but like for the most part, like the ones that everyone thinks about, like Mario, Mega Man, I don't think I ever really got big into those.
Gotcha.
Although I do love Mega Man Battle Network. That's my jam.
Gotcha. No, I love collecting stuff. I can't be objective.
Oh yeah, well we're big on that. I mean, we both collect. Like that's why we like Far Cry so much. That's the
true
collectathon 1000%.
That's accurate. Know? Yeah. I'm just
Tech
saying
box,
people should try it. So.
Oh yeah, I mean I'll give it up if I. You know what? I even put a key code request in for it.
Ooh, wait, where?
I'm going to check and see if it's here.
Oh, I don't think it's there. I looked too. I think Microsoft owns it now, but if you've got it.
Okay. How about
drop the 60 on Steam, give it a shot. If you don't like it, you refund it. Boom. Done.
Whoa, player.
You can refund it.
Whoa, we have to refund it in the first 2 hours, bro. Like what if I like use the bathroom or something and forget? You know, like
use the bathroom
just
for
2 hours? Like, you know, what if I use the bathroom like the 1 hour and 50 minute mark and I just get stuck in here for a little bit.
Well, then if you like it by the 1 hour and 50 minute mark and you're still playing it, you know, they deserve your money. So,
that's probably true.
Also Game Pass, bro. I'm telling you. So,
that's fair too.
Yep. All right. Last thing before we end it. So the topic really was about games that got delayed and actually ended up being good. Cause there's always that Miyamoto quote, right? Which is like a delayed game is eventually good. A rushed game is bad forever, which I always thought was kind of bullshit. I was always like, okay, Miyamoto-san, you know, sometimes that's true, I guess, but usually I feel like delays don't seem to help as much as they should. And it's not that the delays aren't helping the game out, because they are. It's just more the release dates were way too ambitious, and then even the product that you get isn't good. So I don't know. Part of me is wondering what other games came out after lengthy delay cycles that ended up being good. So I'm curious if you guys have any examples. That's sort of what I was interested in. Because for me, I feel like after Psychonauts and after Deathloop, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, you know?
I mean, every Smash game that has came out since Brawl has been delayed.
That's true. That's true.
And, you know, we like those. You know, for the time that we play them, we like those.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is also general Q&A near it. So
yeah. The other topic that we had though was definitely about the games that like should have been made already to print money.
Uh huh.
And you know, I was talking about the Chao Garden, like literal Chao Garden mobile game. Like you already made Pokemon Go. I already showed you that mobile games with popular IPs will take off. People love Chao's. People like. I feel like people even over point. Sonic Adventure 2 Battle just because of Chao Garden. Like, I think when you go back and play that game without playing the Chao, that's a solid 6 out of 10 game at most. But with the Chao Garden, that's a 9 out of 10.
They need a Chao Gacha game.
Yeah.
People would wail out. I'm telling you.
You give us a Chao Garden game, it's Gacha or it's, you know, it's Gacha plus like Pokemon Go stuff, like where you know, you can walk around, grab Chaos Drives, whatever. And then you use that, you make your Chao's all strong, you race, you fight, You do some other, like, whatever, the a third mini game that they would have. Just, it's right there, bro. It's literally right there.
Yeah, I feel like there's something to it, but how do you make it on mobile, right? I guess then it's just a Tamagotchi. But I guess that's what it always was.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that different.
It's a Tamagotchi, but, you know, with cool mini games, basically. You know, but like, let my child box your child. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we need something. I'm surprised they haven't done that yet, honestly. Like, made something along that realm. I know that Nintendo has been making a lot of, like, they made the Dr. Mario app, they made the Mario Kart app, and they're sort of monetized. I mean, there's Animal Crossing too. It's not really gacha, but they're definitely designed to get money, you know? And I'm wondering, what could Sega do to do the same thing? Chao Garden's one of them. I don't really know if Sega has the IPs to do much more. You could probably make a Monkey Ball gacha very easily, actually.
Yeah.
That'd be very easy to do.
Yeah. I mean, would you race other people? Like, what is the...
I think you would race ghosts. Like, you race other people, but they're ghosts, and you go down tracks, and, like, you could get different monkeys, and the monkeys have different attributes or something. You could definitely do something there.
Yeah, I don't know.
God,
I think
a money printer.
You said there's lots of mobile gacha games that are basically Tamagotchi clones. I think Sega is just bad at mobile. I think Sega is just bad at making money, bro, because I feel like they just keep going back to the drawing board with bad ideas based off their last bad idea, and it just doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, they just really released Sonic Colors, right? That game, it's a pretty solid Sonic game, like, for sure. But, like, it's a pretty solid Sonic game in a pocket of shitty Sonic games. So even if, like, that game was bad, technically, like, overall, because it's better than, like, the game that was before it by a lot and behind it by a lot, it's looked as, like, oh, this game is great. And I'm not, you know, like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't even know where the magic left, because I feel as though the last time that I liked a Sonic game was Unleashed, and that was only the day stages. Like, it still felt like you were running and, you know, doing, like, mad fast stuff all the time, but, like, it doesn't feel like that in other Sonic games.
Yeah, Sonic games are just, they just have a tendency to, I don't know, there's something that isn't quite there. And it feels like it should be, right? I don't know what it is, but when I play it, it's like, this should be fun. Why am I not enjoying this?
Yeah, and I with Sonic Adventure 2 Battle or whatever, all the Sonic stages and Shadow stages were great because they were stylistic, too. Like, you bouncing off someone with your homing attack and then doing like some aerial sick flip, like, you know, rollerblading X Games move before you hit the next one was very stylish. Sure. That was dope looking. And I think they've tried to bring that back, but now it doesn't look as smooth. Like, cause I feel like the animations back then were slower when Sonic would do it. So like you would get to like fully see him, like, you know, like grab his heels and do like a 360.
Sure.
But like in newer games, he's just in the pose after he's done. So he hits like does the thing already in the pose and then you do it again. And I don't know. I think that kind of like jarred me when I first saw it in comparison to what I was used to. So, I mean, same stuff was probably with Smash 4 and Ultimate, though. You know, like we got used to Smash 4's knockback and then Ultimate knockback was like super quick. And now we're used to that. And we look back at Smash 4's knockback and we're like, what the hell?
Yeah, dude, I don't understand it. When I look at Smash 4 footage, it does not make sense to me. I can't remember ever looking at it or watching that damn thing. Like, it did not exist in my head. It's so weird. Don't get it. All right, we're going to wrap it up with a couple more questions if you guys have any, but that'll probably do it for the show. Otherwise, we had a kind of a long one, 35 minutes. Had a lot of stuff to talk about. My thing was we were talking about games that could work now. I wanted to talk about Twisted Metal, but I'm not going to do it because that's apparently coming out. Apparently that's real. Yeah, dude. They've said that Twisted Metal is in development. They're going to make a Netflix TV show too, which is like cool, you know. So apparently that's on the way. Did you guys not see this?
No, because the last time we talked about anything Twisted Metal like was Destruction All-Stars in that game. It was not good. I don't even know if people are still playing that, but like from what I played it, It was not good. In fact, let me go ahead and check Twitch to see if anybody, like literally anybody, is playing that.
Here, I just posted the new thing. I posted the So yeah, the people that wrote Deadpool are apparently writing a Twisted Metal series. I don't know what it is, but apparently it's the writers behind Deadpool and Zombieland. And they're doing that, and I assume they've got to be making a game too, right? They have to.
Not a single person is playing Destruction All-Stars on Twitch.tv.
Nope.
So, not a single person. So, that's... If you're wondering where that game went, yeah. Just...
I was excited for it, but then I saw you play it, and I was like, no. No thanks.
I think Knockout City still gets played. I think Knockout City dropped the ball by not getting either a Twitch Rivals early.
They needed a Twitch Rivals.
Yeah, they definitely needed a Twitch Rivals. Or just, you know, shilling out for some people to play their game. I think the issue with, EA, well, that was EA, right?
Yeah.
They put their games out, and they put a game out, they publish it, whatever, and they just don't really follow up with that game. So, like, it's out, and then we move on. So, sure. You could have definitely rolled more people into that game. It was free for the first, 20 levels or something, which is, a decent amount of time. But just for whatever reason, it just didn't catch on. Probably should have been free to play altogether, too, but whatever.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was a very good game, but I feel like there are so many good games right now that it's just so saturated. There's nothing that anybody can, there's just nothing that you could do to attach people to your game or to get excited about it, you know? It's there's so many good games out, nobody's attention can hold. Everybody's looking for the next, Among Us or Fall Guys or whatever, but it's just... I don't know.
It's definitely hard to these fad games that are literally you can tell they were made for the quick cash grab. And that's not even a bad thing, because that game is Knockout City, from when we were playing, it was very fun.
Sure.
It's just that's it. There's nothing else really to write home about. You play dodgeball with your friends for a bit. That's fun for a day and a half or maybe a week straight. And then it's well, what's next?
Yeah. As soon as we hit Diamond, or whatever it was, I forget what it's called, but I just had zero desire to keep going, unfortunately. Yeah. So,
oh, that's actually a good one. Yeah, what did you think about WarioWare, since you actually got a chance to play it a lot this weekend? I played it with Fats before I got there. So, I played it with Fats, the demo, and the demo was very fun, for sure.
Very good. I did not play it enough to, so Junebug and I played through the story mode, which lasts, an hour and a half. It's very short. But it's not the whole game. There's a lot more to it. I didn't play the actual multiplayer, which is, I think, where all the fun is. You have to unlock it. And so those are, the different game modes and the cool sort of setups and whatnot. I kind of want to try it again, and do that. So I'll do that soon. But for right now, the games are amazing. I don't know how much I like the whole, character gimmick. But every WarioWare has a gimmick. So, how mad can you be, It's great, though. I love it. I'm going to be playing it, I think, for a long time.
It's got no online, though, does it?
No. Not as far as I know. I don't think so.
Nintendo always dropping the ball. But honestly, it wouldn't work anyway. Because a game like that definitely needs precision online. And
well, if the game lasts 3 seconds and half of the second is you moving because of the lag, it's not going to function. There's no way.
Yeah. Exactly. So I was like, yeah, that needs precision internet for sure. So big rip.
Yeah. All right. Final question. Which game genre is the most stagnant and ripe for change / modernization? Honestly,
I feel like, wouldn't it be BRs?
Was the first thing I was going to say.
That's the low hanging fruit answer for sure, though.
It's so low hanging because BRs are so vague that they can be anything, but also it seems like there's so much potential and unmined ability to iterate there that would be my play.
JRPGs are pretty up there too,
so I don't know.
They are following a lot of the same formula. The action is usually very fun and anime like, but the story, all the stories seem to be generally around the same, finding your inner power, inner strength, or whatever,
sure.
Overcoming the odds, saving the world with friendship, it's kind of why I don't care too much about the stories as much anymore. as far as BRs go, I think the thing about BRs is that it's just impossible to beat the top two right now. Like,
yeah, there's no reason.
You're not
going to
beat Fortnite. You're not going to beat Apex. And people are making other BRs. I just got finished playing this Vampire BR. Mm. Well, not got finished, like, recently, but, like, I've been playing this Vampire BR. And it's fun, but it's not going to replace Apex or Fortnite. Neither is Naraka Blade Point. And even though that one is much different and it's, like, more physical, it's still not going to end up replacing Apex or Fortnite. And that could be because the game's not as good or the marketing's not as good. But regardless,
it's definitely because the game's not as good, just to be clear.
I mean, it could be both, though. It could be both.
But yeah.
I feel you. The games are definitely not going to be like, I mean, Fortnite's super polished. Even if you don't like it, I don't even play Fortnite anymore. But I will not deny that there's a lot of good stuff going on in that game.
Yeah.
Apex is very competitive and fun. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I don't know. And it's stylish. So, like, it's just hard to beat those two, like, titans of BRs.
There are, yeah, I don't know how you do it, because, like, you can have a really cool idea, but you need really strong marketing, too. You kind of need to pay influencers to do it, which is, like, expensive. So that's,
you know what I think you would play, though? I know, stylistically, it doesn't look good, but sure. I think you would like Super Animal Royale.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's been on my radar. I haven't had a chance to
try it. Whenever you play it, like, let's play together, because I love that game.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's another game that I saw called, like, Animalia Survival or something. It's mm-hmm. the same thing, but it's, like, more realistic. So you pick, like, a carnivore or an herbivore, and you're, like, in the African savanna. But, like, it's not, like, cartoonish. It's, like, you're just a rhino munching on grass, and then a lion shows up, and you have to, like, be... I don't know why you would ever pick, like, a gazelle. I don't know what they do. But it looks very funny. Tokyo Jungle HD. Yeah. I played Tokyo Jungle a long time ago, and it's so funny. And this sort of looks like that. I love Tokyo Jungle, so I hope it's like that. I'm going to probably play it sometime this week, and hopefully it's good, because I'm very excited. It sounds very funny.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, with all that being said, man, thank you guys again for watching y'all game. We actually had a lot to talk about, but it's been a couple weeks, so that makes sense. We'll definitely be back with more episodes every Tuesday.
Yep.
That we are home. You know, tournaments are coming back, but with them already talking about COVID breakouts, I don't know how long that's going
to
last. So.
Yeah, I might need to cancel my Texas trip.
Are you not coming down to Low Tide, bro?
I don't know. I was, but this is getting... Sag. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, Texas in particular is so scary, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, yeah. For sure.
Check it out next week, guys.
Yeah, check us out next week, and be safe and wear a mask and all that other good stuff, because we're trying to, you know, we're trying to, like, get back to normal.
Please. It's for our jobs. Please, just do it. We'll see you guys next time. Bye!
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.